foundation a stone. I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone. A tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation, a sure foundation. A tried stone, a precious cornerstone, he that believeth shall not make haste.
This is the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast with Dr. K. Daniel Freed, coming to you from Powder Springs, Georgia, USA, reaching the nation of Israel, God's chosen people, the Jews, with the good news of their Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach, the Lord Jesus Christ. Speaking out against anti-Semitism while promoting love for Israel, God's ancient people, the apple of his eye. Believing in what the Holy Scriptures say in Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, I will bless them that bless thee. Preaching from God's holy word, the King James Bible, the prophetic truths of the second coming of our Lord, blowing the trumpet in Zion and warning God's people and the nations about the judgment to come, exposing apostasy and the developing one world antichrist system. Stay tuned for this hour with the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast. This is News and Analysis with Dr. K. Daniel Freed. Well, what about it? A different Muslim voice. A different Muslim voice. Well, you know, there are some Muslims out there, or some who are in these Arab countries where many of the newspaper articles, I read some the other broadcasts, regarding the fact that there is this just overt and many times covert attitude against Israel and United States of America. But, you know, there are some that have some sense about them, and this fella here wrote, he said, "Sir, as a Muslim, I fully support the right of Israel to exist as a free nation. Israel is the only democratic country in the Middle East. As a Muslim, I totally denounce the practice of Palestinians killing innocent Israeli teenagers and bystanders in suicide attacks. As a Muslim, I wholeheartedly want Jews to pray at the Temple Mount. Muslims regard it as their third holiest site, with Mecca and Medina taking first and second places. Christians and Muslims should be allowed to pray at the Temple Mount if they wish, but Jews should be given total control of the site. Why are the Muslim states so selfish in wanting that tiny piece of real estate called Israel when, as Muslims, they should invite Palestinians to live with them?" Now I gotta repeat myself right here. Now notice here. He says, "Why are the Muslim states so selfish in wanting that tiny piece of real estate called Israel when, as Muslims, they should invite Palestinians to live with them?" This guy, his name is Abdrahim Mohammed Saeed from India. Amazing. A Muslim who recognizes the truth of Israel's existence. And, well, you know, a lot of people call themselves Muslims, or like a lot of people call themselves Christians, simply because they're part of a Arab country or part of a Muslim state-run country or the domineering country that teaches, you know, Muslim. What he actually believes about the Muslim religion, I do not know. I do know, though, that the Muslim religion, as the Quran teaches it, is anti-God. And the reason I say it's anti-God is because they're anti-Israel and anti-Jew. And anybody that's anti-Israel or anti-Jew is anti-God. I mean, anti-God of the Bible, anti-Bible, anti-God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But again, there's many people that are Muslims in name, and whether they practice it exactly the way Muhammad wanted him to practice it is, well, it's another story, I guess. Well, here's another one, and this is, I believe I got this out of the Jerusalem Report or Jerusalem Post, one or the other. It says, Muslims doubt. An overwhelming majority of Muslims do not believe Arabs carried out September 11th attacks in the United States and disapprove of the U.S.-led military campaign in Afghanistan. A major survey showed last week, despite news report that 15 of the 19 September 11th hijackers were Saudis, only 18% of those polled in six countries said they believed Arabs carried out the attacks, according to a Gallup poll published in USA Today. Many blamed Israel or the U.S., the paper said. Gallup said it carried out 9,924 face-to-face interviews in Saudi Arabia, Iran, Pakistan, Indonesia, Turkey, Lebanon, Kuwait, Jordan, and Morocco in December and January. This is quoted from the Reuters news agency. And so, beloved, on the one hand, we have some who claim to be Muslims, understand the right for Israel to exist, and they even understand that the Palestinians really shouldn't even be in there. Not when you consider how vast the land Saudi Arabia is, and they could give those Palestinians 1,000 times greater land mass than they're killing each other over right now. Here's an excellent article by an Arab, I guess. He is an Arab who is, well, at least understands what's going on. And he writes many times articles in the Jerusalem Post. This is from Arab America. Land for Peace, again, by Joseph Farah. Land for Peace, it's the mantra of Middle East diplomacy. We've heard it before, and we're hearing it again, this time from Saudi Arabia. 3 weeks ago, Crown Prince Abdullah floated the latest peace plan. He offers full political, economic, cultural relations with Israel if only the Jewish state will return to its pre-1967 borders. Remarkably, incredibly, Israel has once again expressed cautious interest in this idea. Let me tell you why this latest peace plan should be categorically rejected out of hand. It would mean redividing Jerusalem and giving control of the holiest sites in Judaism, the Temple Mount and Western Wall, to the Arabs. Jerusalem is the capital of Israel. Can you imagine any other country in the world considering giving up half its capital city for the promise of peace? I don't think so. Israel's territory now represents just a tiny sliver of a nation with borders that are nearly impossible to define. Cutting into that territory in such a dramatic way will leave it vulnerable to yet another inevitable war of aggression by Arab neighbors. The idea has been characterized as national suicide by previous Israeli prime ministers Golda Meir and Menachem Begin. Israel, under such a redrawing of the maps, would be 9 miles wide. The promise of full normalization of relations rings hollow. Palestinian Authority Chairman Yasser Arafat, the man responsible for the ongoing wave of terrorism against Israel, had already agreed to full normalization when he signed the Oslo Accords. Egypt and Jordan likewise agreed to full normalization of relations in their peace treaties with the Jewish state, though neither ever fulfilled those obligations. The plan would reward Arafat for the increased wave of terrorism endured by Israel for the last year and a half. It would, in effect, and in reality, create a brand new terrorist state in the Middle East, Palestine. Israel would also be without the water supplies the country needs under such a plan. How much different is this plan from the one offered by Ehud Barak? Not much different. Barak offered Arafat 96% of the West Bank, all of Gaza, and equivalent land to compensate for the 4% deficiency. He included all of East Jerusalem, where the Arabs would build their capital. Arafat responded with a war. What has changed? Can Saudi Arabia bring all the terrorist groups into line any more than Arafat did? I'll give you one more reason why this plan should be rejected. Saudi Arabia doesn't believe in permanent peace with Israel any more than Arafat does. Sheikh Adil Azhar bin Baz, the Mufti of Saudi Arabia, has explained that, quote, peace with Israel is permissible only on condition that it is a temporary peace until the Muslims build up the strength needed to expel the Jews, unquote. Once again, this is a trap, a Trojan horse tragedy devised by a Taliban-style totalitarian theocracy that bans the Bible and harshly punishes anyone found worshiping any god but Allah, even in the privacy of the home. Saudi Arabia, as Americans in particular should remember, is the nation that bred Osama bin Laden. It's the nation that bred most of the September 11th hijackers. It's the nation that feigns moderation but is as brutally intolerant as any country on the face of the earth. Beware of Saudis bearing gifts. Former New York Mayor Rudy Giuliani got it right when he returned a seven-figure check from the regime meant for disaster relief in the wake of September 11th. The Saudis were trying to make a point that Americans should reevaluate their view of the Arab and Muslim world following the terror attacks and adopt a more even-handed policy toward the Middle East. Giuliani saw through the ruse. Likewise, the world should see through this latest ploy by the Saudis. This is nothing more than a public relations move to take the heat off a nation bearing more responsibility and guilt for terror than it is willing to admit. That some Israelis like Foreign Minister Shimon Peres and Defense Minister Benjamin Ben Elazar would still look favorably upon such a plan is nothing short of mind-boggling. Have they learned nothing from history? At this point, after all the bloodshed of the last year, such blind appeasement within Israeli power circles is tantamount to treason. Nothing short of complicity in the terror itself. The writer's editor of the World, netdaily.com news site. Well, how about it, folks? Is he right? Yeah, he's so right. He is so right. Now get a load of this. I tell you, it baffles me sometimes. We, United States of America, built on Bible principles, whole judicial system is supposed to be based on our godly constitution, and all of this. It's just amazing to me how we would create our own problems. This is old news already, but I need to bring out some of the interesting aspects of this. This has to do with how the Muslims, especially the radical groups, but not even the radical groups. I mean, just our own educational institutions are flocking to teach our children the blessings of knowing about Islam. And, you know, you would think that because of what has happened, America would get wise and realize that Islam and all of this stuff going on out there is not good for America. That we need to get back to the Bible. Hey, we need to get back to the Bible, the Word of God. That's the foundation of our country. The book of Quran does not have any essence or any basis for why our country was founded. It's the Bible, folks. The Bible. It's what brought our country to the greatness we have today. But what's happening now is they're getting these textbooks into public schools across America. And here's a book with its title, Across the Centuries. And it's amazing. Parents in two California school districts, as reported in USA Today, have launched an effort to have its seventh grade social studies textbook altered or removed, charging that it contains Islamic information and amounts to proselytizing and could lead students down the same path as American Taliban member John Walker Lynn. Pacific Justice Institute, a nonprofit legal defense organization specializing in religious issues and parental rights, filed two administrative complaints on behalf of parents in the San Luis Coastal Unified and Lemon Grove school districts. Complaints may be filed in at least two other districts, says Institute President Brad Dacus. Anyway, Boston-based publisher Houghton Mifflin on Wednesday issued a statement responding to complaints against the textbook, which is, with the title Across the Centuries, which is state-approved and has been in use since 1991. The question is, are all things Muslim now considered evil? The statement asks. Well, that's not the point. The point is that there's blatant stuff in here that is tainted with all kinds of recruiting recruiting ways of getting into the minds and brainwashing our children. Now, that's what's wrong with the thing. Hey, they kick out the Bible and kicked out the Lord Jesus Christ out of public schools, and now they're letting the false God of Islam into public schools. Now, that is absolutely absurd. Pretend you're a Muslim soldier and build a little mosque. Following our excerpts and some suggested review exercises from Across the Centuries, a Houghton Mifflin social studies textbook for seventh graders. Get a load of this. Quote, an Islamic term that is often misunderstood is jihad. The term means to struggle, to do one's best to resist temptation and overcome evil. Under certain conditions, the struggle to overcome evil may require action. Quote, these revelations confirm both Muhammad's belief in one God or monotheism and his role as the last messenger in a long line of prophets sent by God. The God he believed in, Allah, is the same God of other monotheistic religions, Judaism and Christianity. Allah, the Arabic word for God, is the word used in the Quran. Hey, now let me just tell you something about that. That is a flat-out lie. First of all, Allah is a name of many, many gods that the Arabs would worship. And the only reason Allah became on top is because Muhammad decided to make him on top. But Allah was just many of many gods in the ancient beliefs of the Arab nations. And this thing about jihad, that's a joke. That's a joke. Every time you hear about jihad in the news media across all the primary majority of Arab countries, they always use it in a derogatory fashion, in a condemning fashion, in a destructive fashion, in a way that is outright wicked as hell. They don't care about people. They want to have a holy jihad. I'll tell you one thing, you couldn't believe in Jesus in most of these Arab countries. They'd kill you. You hear what I'm saying? You could not believe in Jesus and live in most of these Muslim state-run countries. They don't sound like we have the same God. If Allah was the same God of God of Abraham, they wouldn't worry about Jesus Christ and Christianity. The fact of the matter is Christianity is a threat to them because you know why? I'll tell you why. Jesus said of himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Hey, listen, if Jesus is the way, Allah is not the way. Do you hear what I'm saying? If Jesus Christ is the way, and he is, according to the Bible, then Allah, Buddha, Confucius, and all these other false religions out there are not the way. So, this is lies. This is lies. This is not even the truth. I mean, if you want to give a history of Islam, give a true history of Islam, please. Say all that wicked stuff they say about the Jews and the Quran. Come on, come on, come on. Quote all that wicked stuff they say about Israel. Come on, come on. Let's get the truth out now. Oh, I know there's some things that are quoted there when Muhammad first started out. He has some moral principles that he got from the Bible, by the way, and he borrowed it from Judaism and he borrowed it from Christianity. He borrowed it from the Word of God. You'll see a lot of quotations of Quran from the Word of God. But evidently something changed when he decided to conquer the world through his militant stand of Islam. Well, the review of this here is quoted, writing activity. Assume you are a Muslim soldier on your way to conquer Syria in the year AD 635. This is a review of the book. And this is what they're telling our children who are in public school. And this is what they're saying. I'm talking about American children now. Write 3 journal entries that reveal your thoughts about Islam, fighting in battle, or life in the desert. Collaborative learning. Form small groups of students to build a miniature mosque. You may decide to use cardboard, paper mache, or other materials. Have one member do research at the library to find out what the inside of the mosque look like. Have another member design a building plan. And have 2 members collect the building materials. Together, construct the mosque according to your plan. I'd like to quote an Israeli professor of Islamic civilization. He spoke out about this stuff and give us a real understanding of Islam. And it's amazing. Professor Moshe Sharon, he said, Islam born to rule. Now, let's move to the essence of Islam, he says, in a continual lecture here that he gave. He says, Islam was born with the idea that it should rule the world. Let's look then at the differences between these 3 religions. Judaism speaks about national salvation, namely at the end of the story, when the world becomes a better place, Israel will be in its own land, ruled by its own king and serving God. Christianity speaks about the idea that every single person in the world can be saved from his sins, while Islam speaks about ruling the world. I can quote here in Arabic, but there is no point in quoting in Arabic, so let me quote a verse in English. Quote, Allah sent Muhammad with the true religion so that it should rule over all the religions. The idea then is not that the whole world would become a Muslim world at this time, but that the whole world would be subdued under the rule of Islam. When the Islamic Empire was established in 634 AD, within 7 years, 640, the core of the empire was created. The rules that were taken from the Quran and from the tradition that was ascribed to the Prophet Muhammad were translated into a real legal system. Jews and Christians could live under Islam provided they paid poll tax and accepted Islamic superiority. Of course, they had to be humiliated. And Jews and Christians living under Islam are humiliated to this very day. Muhammad did accept the existence of all the biblical prophets before him. However, he also said that all these prophets were Muslims. Can you believe that? All right, anyway, Abraham was a Muslim, he says. In fact, Adam himself was the first Muslim. Isaac and Jacob and David and Solomon and Moses and Jesus were all Muslims. Oh, and all of them had writings similar to the Quran. Oh, I just need to interject some here. That is a bunch of garbage. I mean, that's a bunch of garbage if I've ever heard garbage. I mean, I appreciate what the professor's revealing here, but the history, what he's saying about the history is right. And it's just incredible that Muhammad would think such a thing when he borrowed it all from the Bible and Old and New Testament. I mean, this is ridiculous. All right. Therefore, world history is Islamic history because all the heroes of history were Muslims. Furthermore, Muslims accept the fact that each of these prophets brought with him some kind of a revelation. Moses brought the Torah, which is the Torah, and Jesus brought the Injil, which is the Evangelion or Gospel, namely the New Testament. Why then is the Bible not similar to the Quran? Muhammad explains that the Jews and Christians forged their books. Had they not been changed and forged, they would have been identical to the Quran. What a joke! Can you believe that? That they believe the Quran has superiority over the Bible? Okay, but anyway, he goes on to say, but because Christians and Jews do have some truth, Islam concedes that they cannot be completely destroyed by war for now. Nevertheless, the laws are very clear. Jews and Christians have no rights whatsoever to independent existence. They can live under Islamic rule provided they keep to the rules that Islam promulgates for them. Oh, mercy. Isn't that amazing? You have been listening to the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast coming to you from Powder Springs, Georgia, USA. Now we invite you to continue to stay with us for another 30 minutes of good broadcasting regarding the Jews and the issues pertaining to the nation of Israel and what the Bible has to say about it. If you're interested in this, we know you'll not be disappointed. If you have a love for the Jewish people, or if you even have questions about their existence, oh my, you need to stay tuned and find out what the Bible says about it. But if you must leave, we sure like you to come back next time. But until then, would you please write us and let us know that you've enjoyed this broadcast, or if you have any questions at all, we'll do our very best to answer you. Now, please write us at the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127, USA. Once again, that's the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, PowderSprings, Georgia, or GA, 30127 USA. If you're interested in helping keep this program on the air, please send any gifts to this address, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127 USA. We're also accepting King James Bibles in good condition. This helps us to distribute these Bibles throughout the world. There are thousands, tens of thousands of people that are begging us for Bibles throughout the world. And we do our best to send them Bibles, but they're very expensive. So if you would do what you can to help us keep our supply going, we would be very thankful to you. Now, please continue to stay tuned now to the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast. Invite your family, your friends, your business associates, anybody that has an interest in the Jewish question as to whether they should exist or not. Now, the Bible has a lot to answer to that, but if you have a love for the Jew, you know what the answer is already. Yes, indeed. They are God's chosen people, the apple of His eye.
Showeth mercy unto thy servants that walk before thee with all of their hearts. O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in the heaven, there is no God like thee.
This is Dr. K. Daniel Freed. Once again, I'm so glad that you've been able to stay for the last half of this broadcast, the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast. And I just want to make a couple of announcements before I continue on the news and analysis for today. We're going to extend it for the rest of the broadcast today. I just believe I need to get through some more stuff. And next program, God willing, we will dedicate that whole broadcast to the tabernacle in the wilderness, and most likely that one and maybe the next program after that will finish that series on the tabernacle in the wilderness. But I wanted to just announce that the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast is a faith ministry, and we depend upon free will offerings to keep this thing going. Now, if you are a local Bible-believing church and you believe in what we're doing, we'd ask you to prayerfully consider sponsoring these programs and put us on your monthly mission project or faith promise giving. If there's an individual that's listening that really believes this program is a blessing and a help, then we encourage you to go through your local church and make sure you do it the right way, because we are a local church ministry. We believe in the local church ministry and believe that everything should be done through that. But we do need help. Radio is expensive, and we are looking to God to expand this program to many more places and many more states and countries. So we do need your help. I don't want to get a begging and a pleading mentality. I know sometimes programs, they tend to spend a whole lot of time in asking for money. I don't want to be known for that. But I simply want to petition you that if God's touched your heart and you feel this is a worthy ministry, this is, by the way, only one of many, many things that we do. We are involved in all kinds of things in helping to reach the Jewish people for the cause of their Messiah. Now, we do want to continue now mentioning just a few more things here on this book that was written there and allowed to get into some of the public schools. And the title of the book is Across the Centuries. Now, of course, the authors are defending it and saying it's just simply a historical book. But I want to read from the Christian Law Association alert paper that I get. And this is a organization that defends the rights of freedom of speech, religious freedom, and so forth. And they have some good comments here I want to read. Reverence for Islam in California. Recently, California public schools have been in the news because they have not been reluctant to teach religion. But their emphasis has been on the Quran, not on the Bible. California 7th graders have been using a state-approved history social science book to study Islam during the period of the Middle Ages. The students learn about the origins of Islam and about the life and teachings of Muhammad. They even study Muslim teachings about the connections between Islam, Judaism, and Christianity. Students learn the significance of the Quran and the Sunnah as the primary sources of Islamic belief, practice, and lore, and they learn about how these sources influence the daily life of Muslims. Schools often attempt to justify teaching such material as a non-religious curriculum merely intended to promote an understanding of Islamic culture. Not all parents agree, however. California schools may have crossed the constitutional line by teaching these courses. Parents have complained that these classes do not just teach students about Islamic culture, they actually promote the Islamic faith. In a 7th grade course in world religions, 3 entire weeks are dedicated to the study of Islam. Christianity and Judaism are brushed over. When Christianity is mentioned in the state-approved textbook or referred to on recommended websites, it is with a critical tone. In contrast, the textbook has high praise for Islam. Indeed, Islam is presented as the true religion. Students are taught the tenets of Muslim religion, including the 5 pillars of Islam, although there is some dispute as to whether students are taught to pray, quote, in the name of Allah, the compassionate, the merciful, unquote. There is no dispute that they do read from the Quran. Extra credit is even offered to students who memorize Quran verses. Can you believe that? They are memorizing verses in the Quran, and I doubt whether the majority of those public school kids can even memorize one Bible verse, let alone, you know, this is enough to want to make you want to just croak. I mean, oh my soul. Now listen, folks. It goes on to say, students also experience the faith tenets of Islam. For example, in some schools, they're required to pretend they are Muslims. They are told to wear Muslim clothing, adopt a Muslim name, and play a dice game to engage in their own jihad. Ah, can you believe it? Now, folks, when I say this, I'm not intending to insult or offend deliberately, or to be ugly or anything like that against individuals who are part of the Islamic world. Well, I'm going to tell you one thing. Just like in Judaism, you got the Reform, a Reconstructionist, a Conservative, the Orthodox, the Ultra-Orthodox. You see, you got different denominations, different variations. But the Ultra-Orthodox claim to represent true Judaism. The rest of them don't represent Judaism according to anything that is historic Judaism at all. The same with those who believe in Christianity, so-called. You got the liberals that don't even believe in the virgin birth. They don't believe in the triune Godhead. They don't believe in the blood of Christ. They're liberals. And they surely aren't Christians, to tell you that much. You got the liberals. You got the Martinists. You got the neo-Orthodox people who use Orthodox terminology but attach their own definition and own meanings to what is orthodoxy. You got the ecumenical movement. You got the new evangelical movement. That's where you have so-called evangelicals trying to infiltrate these apostate denominations to try to win them over. Then you got so-called evangelicals. You got then the fundamentalist movement. And of course, there's a lot of divisions there. And then you got the Bible-believing, independent Baptist, hallelujah, that I'm a part of. Again, listen, you can be a Baptist is great, but you need to be a saved Baptist, let me tell you that. You need to be a born-again Baptist, son, if you're going to get to heaven. That's exactly right. Independent Baptist folks have historically always held to the true doctrines of the faith. Well, I guess the same is true for this Islam stuff. Those who say Islam is a good religion, a peaceful religion. They represent the reformed liberal view of the Islamic religion. They do not represent the hardcore historical Muhammadism that was taught by Muhammad and what makes up the thrust of the Quran. So according to their own Muslim religion, most of the people who are speaking on behalf of the Islamic religion in America or some of the more democratic countries are mostly reform liberal Muslims, and they cannot speak on behalf of the true Muslim religion. Now, I don't endorse the Muslim religion at all. I believe it's false. I believe it's a cult. I believe it's not anything to do with what is godly. It is a farce. It's a counterfeit of the true thing. Folks, listen. It may have some truth, but it is altogether a deception of truth. And just because it has a little truth, don't make a whole bunch of lies true. Now listen, folks. If you look at Islam and look at the Quran and see it for what it is, you'll see it is anti-God, true God, God of Abraham. It is anti-Christianity, true Bible Christianity. And it is anti-Bible. It is anti-Israel. It is anti-Jew. And that's the only conclusion you're going to come out when you evaluate the facts. Now, let me continue with the lecture that was given by Professor Moshe Sharon. And so far, it's very, very interesting. Now, again, when I read from other writers or quote from other organizations, we do not endorse them necessarily. In fact, I don't even know what they believe, even if they are Bible-believing Christians, for that matter. But what I see and what they've written appears to be factual. I've researched it from other sources. I can basically validate what I'm reading as being true to form. So don't go around and say, well, Hope Israel Baptist Broadcast endorses this guy or endorses this organization. And no, sir, I don't endorse anybody but the Bible. I endorse the Bible. That's all I endorse. I endorse anybody that is a true Bible-believing, God-fearing, blood-bought, born-again believer. I endorse them if they love God, serving God, walking holy life, and spirit-filled believers. I endorse that. But I can't endorse carte blanche people I quote from. And I'm sure if they quote from us, they couldn't probably do the same thing. But anyhow, I continue here with his assessment of Islam. Fighting Jews and Christians is called jihad, he says. What happens if Jews and Christians don't want to live under the rules of Islam? Then Islam has to fight them, and this fighting is called jihad. Jihad means war against those people who don't want to accept the Islamic superior rule. That's jihad. They may be Jews, they may be Christians, they may be polytheistic, but since we don't have too many polytheistic people around, at least not in the Middle East, their war is against the Jews and Christians. A few days ago, I received a pamphlet that was distributed in the world by Bin Laden. It calls for jihad against America as the leader of the Christian world. Not because America is the support of Israel, but because Americans are desecrating Arabia with their filthy feet. There are Americans in Arabia where no Christians should be. In this pamphlet, there is not a single word about Israel, only that Americans are desecrating the home of the prophet. The Quran sees the world as divided into two, one part which has come under Islamic rule and one part which is supposed to come under Islamic rule in the future. There is a division of the world which is very clear. Every single person who starts studying Islam knows it. The world is described as Dar al-Islam, the House of Islam. That's the place where Islam rules. And the other part, which is called Dar al-Hab, the House of War. Not the House of non-Muslims, but the House of War. It is this House of War which has to be, at the end of time, conquered. The world will continue to be in the House of War until it comes under Islamic rule. This is the norm. Why? Because Allah says it's so in the Quran. God has sent Muhammad with the true religion in order that the truth will overcome all religions. Hanbali law, the strictest interpretation of Islam. He continues to say, within the Islamic vision of this world, there are rules that govern the lives of Muslims themselves. And these rules are very strict. In fundamentals, there are no differences between the schools of law. However, there are four streams of or factions within Islam with differences between them concerning the minute details of the laws. All over the Islamic world, countries have favored one or another of these schools of laws. The strictest school of law is called Hanbali, mainly coming out of Saudi Arabia. There are no games there, no playing around with the meanings of words. If the Quran speaks about war, then it's war. There are various perspectives of Islam with different interpretations over the centuries. There were good people that were very enlightened in Islam that tried to understand things differently. Of course, the Bible says there's none good, no, not one. But he continues to say, they even brought traditions from the mouth of the Prophet Muhammad that women and children should not be killed in war. These more liberal streams do exist. But there is one thing that is very important for us to remember. The Hanbali school of law is extremely strict, and today this is the school that is behind most of the terrorist powers. Even if we talk about the existence of other schools of Islamic law, when we're talking about fighting against the Jews or fighting against the Christian world led by America, it is the Hanbali school of law that is being followed. Get a load of that. Well, can you just believe it? So the bottom line is that Muhammad became more like a military man, and this new religion that he founded had not been well received at Mecca. And so Muhammad was often mocked and ridiculed. He and a band of followers migrated to Medina and adopted a militant new approach, promoting Islam by the sword. So I added those comments from another article, but that was interesting what the professor had to say. Now, I want to quote some of the writings of the Quran, and I want you to tell me what kind of religion or what kind of system is it promoting? According to the Quran in Surah 47:3-6, you might call this the title "Enemies Are Beheaded." This because the unbelievers follow falsehood, while the faithful follow the truth from their Lord. Thus, God lays down for mankind the rules of conduct. When you meet the unbelievers in the battlefield, strike off their heads, and when you have laid them low, bind your captives firmly. Then grant them their freedom, or take a ransom from them until war shall lay down her burdens. Thus shall you do. Had God willed, he could himself have punished them. But he has ordained it thus, that he may test you the one by the other. All right? Concerning special rewards for martyrs in the Quran, Surah 4, chapter 4, verse 9 and 9, he that leaves his home in the cause of God shall find many a refuge in the land in great abundance. He that leaves his dwelling to fight for God and his apostle and is then overtaken by death shall be recompensed by God. Surely God is forgiving and merciful. So now you understand why they don't mind blowing themselves up to smithereens. Now regarding enemies that should be slain or crucified, according to the Quran now, their holy Quran, Surah chapter 5, verses 33 and 34, those that make war against God, which is Allah, and his apostle Muhammad, and spread disorder in the land, shall be slain or crucified, or have their hands and feet cut off on alternate sides, or be banished from the land. Oh, that's a real peaceful religion, isn't it, folks? Yeah. Yeah, that's a peaceful religion. It's the biggest lie I've ever heard so far after a long time. Here's something. This is how they feel about having friendship with Jews or Christians. According to the Quran, Surah chapter 5, verse 51, they say, believers, take neither the Jews nor the Christians for your friends. They are friends with one another. Whoever of you seeks their friendship shall become one of their number. God does not guide the wrongdoers. I'll tell you what. You see, they're against us. So if they're against us, if the Quran is against us, I'm talking about believers in Christ, why then are we supposed to be a Christian country, quote unquote? Why then are we trying to promote Islam? Here, the Quran says, make war on unbelievers. According to the Quran, Surah chapter 9, verse 73, Prophet, make war on the unbelievers and the hypocrites and deal rigorously with them. Hell shall be their home and evil fate. Surah 9, 5, when the sacred months are over, slay the idolaters wherever you find them, arrest them, besiege them, and lie in ambush everywhere for them. So now you understand what motivates these people to do what they're doing.
Keep his covenant and show his mercy unto thy servants that walk before thee with all of their hearts. O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in the heaven. There is no God like thee in the earth. O Lord God of Israel.
If after hearing this broadcast, God Almighty has convicted your heart of sin, then repent. That is, be willing to confess and forsake your sinfulness and wicked way, while acknowledging your transgressions against the holy God, with sorrow and a broken heart for being an unworthy sinner, deserving eternal judgment in hell fire. Receive Christ, the Messiah's forgiveness, which was bought for you by his own blood, and call upon him to be your only Lord, God, and Savior. If you've asked by faith, believing, then God has given you eternal life according to his word. And now you should know for sure that your sins are forgiven and that you are gloriously saved and born again. Please write us and let us know of the good news about your salvation. Let us know if you are Jewish or from some other ethnic group. You have been listening to the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast with Dr. K. Daniel Freed. The Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast is supported by free will offerings. If you would like to help keep this program on the air, please send your free will donation to the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia 30127, USA. Once again, that's the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia 30127, USA. The Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast is responsible for sending out thousands of Bibles and biblical literature free of charge throughout the world. If you are a Jewish person and would like to receive a free Hebrew English New Covenant, also known as the New Testament, please request a copy. Other languages may also be available. We will also send you a free copy of our very popular booklet, Prophecy Unveiled. Again, if you are Jewish, please be encouraged to ask for this terrific booklet. This booklet is about Jewish prophecy. It has intrigued readers for thousands of years and is now at your fingertips. What do rabbis of old, historians, and religious commentators have to say about the subject? See for yourself and answer the age-old question, is prophecy unveiled? If you're not Jewish and desire to receive a Bible in English, please write to the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127, USA. That's Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, or POWDERSPRINGS, Georgia, or GA 30127, USA. You are invited to visit our website at hopeofisrael.net. Again, our website address is hopeofisrael.net, or hopeofisrael.net. Please email or write us letting us know you're listening to our broadcast. This will be a great encouragement to us and will help us to know where the broadcast is being received around the world. Donations and King James Bibles are being accepted, enabling us to distribute Bibles and gospel literature worldwide. Please send only King James Bibles in good condition. This is Dr. K. Daniel Freed, wishing you God's richest blessings upon your life. And my earnest prayer is that you will be drawn closer to the Savior. Please remember to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Until our next broadcast, tune in again on this day at this same time for the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast.